Lime, duh. Hello, welcome to the Cow Movie Club. Cow Movie Club. Cow. Movie Club. Cow. Cow. Movie Club. Wicka. All right. Wow, coming at ya.
Baby!
That's right. A man who lost to Brock Lesnar very fast.
Very fast.
Too fast. Many would argue too fast. Welcome to the Cow Movie Club. We are back with another spicy week. We are discussing the instant classic. No, every movie we do on the Cow Movie Club, I call a classic now. Mm-hmm. The instant classic known as My Spy, the 2020 hit movie premiering on Prime. Was about to come out, like, right as the quarantine hit, right?
Yeah.
Starring Dave Bautista, Dr. Ken, Kristen Schaal, and that's it.
and that one guy. A little girl.
Oh, yeah. Well, is this her debut? Do you know her from anything else?
I don't know her from anything else. I have to look at her credentials.
Number one on the call sheet, I would say, before Batista.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But yeah, we're talking about My Spy, which you can watch on Prime right now if you have Prime.
I know her. She's from Big Little Lies.
Oh, yeah. She's from Big Little Lies.
She's Zoe Kravitz's daughter.
Yes. That is how I know her.
Yes.
Wow.
Thanks for nothing.
Okay.
You're dismissed. Bye-bye.
Okay. All right, Alexa. But I missed that, Alexa, right?
Yeah.
Alexa's been kind of a jabron, actually, for a long time.
I know. She's like in this tag team dead zone.
Why jabron zone Alexa? I feel like, I guess, you know, they gave her those segments, and she did the coffee thing, which was pretty funny.
Yeah.
She does not work as a baby face at all.
Mm-mm. I like Alexa Bliss.
Especially because she's not a credible threat as a wrestler. She's very small and not really a high flyer either.
No.
Okay.
Anyway.
Big Little Lies.
Okay, I felt like that was irrelevant. That didn't even fit. All right. The girl from Big Little Lies. Good call. I remember they dance in the opening. Like they all, right?
So yes.
That's her big part in the show. Mm-hmm. All right. So we're gonna be talking about that. But before we do, oh wow. That was the least audible opening of a can.
I was right next to the mic.
What flavor?
Pastique. Watermelon.
That's the watermelon flavor?
Yeah, this is my shit. This is all I drink now. If they don't have it at Albertsons, I get lime, but this is my shit right now.
Well, you know, lime's a classic. Sometimes you need to move on just to realize what you had originally.
I know. That's so true, Dan.
Yes, because you'll come back to lime and you'll be like, I don't know what I was thinking.
I always come back to lime.
Absolutely. The guy I was thinking about is Greg Burke. Who's in My Spy, and he's kind of he's like this guy he's just like kind of a weird looking guy.
I know who you're talking about.
He plays the villain. He's got just like crazy eyes.
Crazy eyes.
He's like a constantly working actor.
He kind of looks like Will Forte.
Yes, he looks like Will Forte. But look at this guy's credits. He's in three movies in 2019. One was Ad Astra. You know. I'm just saying, this is a man who books, many would say, is a booker.
He
was in Handmaid's Tale. I do recognize him. I think he's one of the guards in Handmaid's Tale. Like, he's like a dickhead guard from, he's in three episodes, it says. I think he's, anyway. All right, so Aaron, before we get into all the spiciness that is the Cow Movie Club, what movie will we be watching next week?
Well, Dan, it's funny you should ask. Next week, we're going to be watching a 2018 movie. Oh, Dan, can we pause for a second? Can we pause? Sorry, Mike's calling me. It might be an emergency. Hold on.
Yeah. Hold on. We're back in. We're back in. We got to pause.
Folks.
A complete unnecessary pause. But it's okay. Erin thought she had an emergency and she didn't.
Husbands are so annoying.
Husbands are man annoying, and they're I know that because I am one. I know it from the inside. I have inside information.
Okay, so anyway, sorry to keep you guys waiting.
Yes, what movie are we watching? Call. You had a personal phone call?
I had a personal call.
Good for you.
Okay.
Sorry,
you guys. There's no need or reason to brag. Okay.
Oh, no. Okay, so next week, we're talking about a movie that is now available streaming on the official Cow Movie Club streaming platform, Tubi, and Amazon Prime called...
I'll say this right now. Tubi is one of my guys.
Whoa. You heard it here second, folks.
Free. Listen, it's free. You can get free Kickboxer, I think free Bloodsport, Lionheart. It's got like every damn movie on it for free. You watch a commercial every like 20 minutes. Tubi's one of my guys.
Tubi's the okay. First of all, Tubi's the shit because there's some stuff on there. You're like, oh my god, I haven't thought about Black Snake Moan in like 20 years.
Right.
But Tubi's got it. So anyway,
that's right.
So the movie. Yeah,
Bezos is too good for that. He's not gonna buy that.
He's Tubi.
Yeah.
Not very good. Okay.
Tubi is where all the movies that you saw one time as a kid that you liked because you were a kid. But they're actually not good. They all have an under 20% on Rotten Tomato. That's the movie where you're like, this movie exists. It's on Tubi. and so, Pluto TV, also one of my guys,
which I think is like the same as Tubi, maybe.
Yeah, it's the same shit. So was it Roadhouse on Tubi?
Yeah, I watched. It was on.
No, Roadhouse I watched on Showtime.
I watched it on Vudu. It was streaming on Vudu.
What's the one with Hogan and Zeus?
No Holds Bars
was a Tubi.
I watched that on Hulu, but it might be a Tubi.
It's on Tubi also. All right, anyway.
What isn't on Tubi, you guys? One movie that is on Tubi is our pick next week, a 2018 movie that's called Chasing Molly. This is also available on Amazon Prime, and this movie stars Kurt Angle.
Whoa, it's Kurt Angle movie? We need to do that Christian one time. Isn't there like a Christian movie?
Yeah, it's on the list. We have the Cow Movie Club actually has an official schedule now.
I think we got to take what's the Christian movie called? It's like Saving Silverman, but not Saving Silverman.
It's called Interrogation.
No, that's not the one. It's called like the Resurrection of like Roger Stone or something.
Oh, God. Not Roger Stone. I don't know that. I'm telling you,
it's Shawn Michaels is in it.
Okay, I have to look that one up.
Wait, so we saw Shawn Michaels. I'm all over the place today.
Yeah, you guys.
The Resurrection of Gavin Stone. This is what it's, I swear to God, that's what it's called. And it has Shawn Michaels in it.
Oh, I don't know that one.
And,
I remember when this came out, you guys. They were advertising it heavily on the network.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll add that to the list.
We got to add that to the list because
if we add that to this, we have to move blockers back by.
I had a feeling you were going to say
that. It's problematic, but we'll do our best.
All right. Well, we'll fit that in. Maybe we'll put blockers to 2021. I don't think it's right to do blockers until we have a vaccine. I mean, I think
a lot of people have been saying that actually.
Because it just won't feel right. We all can't laugh at full capacity right now, right? I mean, even in these times, it's an 80% top, right?
I haven't laughed like a full laugh in like since the beginning of March.
Bits
last
aside,
time I watched Blockers.
Every moment is that. Bits aside, something happened the other day where I died. Like I actually laughed like a little kid. Like I was.
What was it?
Well, it wasn't this. I'll say this. And by the way, let's just move right, because I don't know what it is, but I'm going to try to think about what it was where I just, died. I was like, this is so fucking funny. It might have been something during Clifford. It's possible it was during Clifford.
It probably was. I had a real, like, a 90% laugh, definitely not a full one.
During Clifford?
No, I talked to Mike about Clifford that night, and he did an impression of Clifford from the movie, and it had me going.
I have to see that.
It was just like he was like, can't you be a normal boy for 2 seconds? And he's like,
yeah, that
trying
is
to be a normal boy at the table. I remember this. Stephen? And it made me laugh.
Yeah, so, but I did laugh. I'll tell you where I laughed, and this was only 80% capacity to laugh. Because I, you know, but I put on Jerry Seinfeld's new special, the 23 Hours to Kill. Now, okay. I see you made a face. You're not a Jerry Seinfeld mark by any means. But I'm not surprised.
I like Seinfeld, but like I'm just sick of him.
So I'm a fan of Seinfeld as a stand up. Obviously, like he's very talented. He has a thing that he does though that I like. He has a zone of stand-up that I really love, and then he has a zone of stand-up that I don't connect with at all. Like right. He does like minutia stand-up, which is so good on the show, yeah. Seinfeld. But then when he does it, like he has a bit about like Pop-Tarts, and I'm like, I don't care about Pop-Tarts. Like there's no joke about Pop-Tarts that you're gonna get me to laugh at, you know?
Right.
And so he does like that, where it's just like really smart, thought-out joke about Pop-Tarts. But he started off his show, his new special, and I recommend the first 15 minutes heavily. Like,
okay.
Like, I didn't finish it, so I actually don't know if I recommend the rest. But he, and he just does a whole bit about like how life is not good, but it's okay.
Uh-huh.
Like he's, you know what I mean? Like
it's just
a whole thing. You'd be like, this is it. It's not that good, but that's okay because it's. There's, you know, relax. It just is what it is. It's okay.
Yeah.
And it's like it keeps going. And then he has one section about how we use the word sucks and great interchangeably.
Right.
And it's such a great observation that you're like, wait, you know, I'm not going to do it any justice because the precision on it is so good.
Yeah.
It's a very well thought out, well crafted bit, but it's just a whole section. He does that. Also, I recommend if you want to go down a hole, watch Jerry Seinfeld winning a Clio award on YouTube. That's fucking hilarious. It's mm-hmm. the same vein of Seinfeld where he's just kind of like, what's the point of anything? It's all so dumb. Like he's like he's just like, yeah, my life is better than yours. I have a lot more money, but like it's not that much better. He's like it's still fine. And it's funny. But I don't know if that's what was making me die. I was like cackling.
My money's on Clifford, but you'll have to
probably Clifford. But anyway, I recommend that. I was watching a little bit of stand up. I was watching a little bit of stand-up specials. I watched that, and then I put on Gary Goldman's special.
Oh yeah,
The Great Depression.
I haven't watched that, but when it came out, like everyone was talking about it.
So anyway, I recommend all that. Anyway, Aaron, anything you'd like to recommend? Yeah, we moved over to recommendation.
Yeah. Recommendation corner.
I wish I remembered what I was laughing at. It was so funny.
I don't remember what you were laughing at.
No.
Let's see. I'd recommend, like, do we talk about Hamilton on Disney Plus? Is that too ob?
I mean, it is a little too ob, but I mean,
it's probably
we can talk about Hamilton.
It's the best thing I watched in the last week.
It's an obvious recommendation, but talking about Hamilton is this is a lot of people's first time seeing Hamilton.
Well, it's my first time seeing it, but I've listened to the soundtrack for years.
Right.
So
me too.
It was a treat.
Everyone knows about how my car starts, and
because
anytime Aaron's seen this before.
Yeah.
If I turn on my car, Hamilton begins because the Aaron Burr song starts because it's double A and it alphabetically hits my Bluetooth. And so every fucking day I would get in my car, we'd go 1776.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'd be backing out of my driveway because I'd be in a rush, so I wouldn't even change it. So the amount of times I've heard Lin-Manuel go like, pardon me, are you Aaron Burr, sir?
Sir.
That depends. Who's asking? Oh, sure, sir. I'm Alexander Hamilton. I'm at your service, sir. I have been looking for you. I'm getting nervous, right?
Yeah. I don't know the lyrics by heart to Aaron Burr, but
yeah, well,
I haven't heard it as many times as you.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was really great
I
to
was
see
seeking
it.
An and accelerated it... course of study. When I got out of sorts with a buddy of yours, he must have punched. I must have punched him. It's a blur, sir. You punched the bursar, sir. Yeah. All right. Anyway. Yeah. Okay.
You punched the bursar. Yeah.
Go.
And I also, Dan knows, had tickets to see Hamilton this summer. But the next week or something like that, but the performance was canceled and my money was refunded. So this kind of softened the blow.
I was hovering. I was literally on the click button to buy tickets.
I know.
And I was like, I think this is going to be canceled.
Yeah. I mean, I bought them like a while before in a pre-COVID world. And I was like, all juice. I was like, oh, mid July, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. I was wrong. It's not fine. But yeah, so Hamilton was the best thing I watched this last week.
Yeah, it's fantastic. If you haven't
seen it,
it's so
great. I watched
a couple
of the numbers again, too. I love King George.
Yeah, that's like a flawless. If you can't sit through all of Hamilton, you're like, I get it, because it's a very – listen, it's very minimal set, you know, like on purpose, because on Broadway it's all about just like showcasing the talent, you know?
It was really, and they do some really cool stuff, though, like the effects with the lights and the
– Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and then they have the, you know, in the my favorite song, Satisfied, they like rewind back to a previous scene
to show you
like, oh, what if I dated him instead of my sister,
right. See things from a different point of view.
It's fantastic, but I will say Broadway, same as any live theater, does not translate as well on TV. Like, this is as well done as it possibly can be, and still it's nothing like being in a room seeing these people actually sing like that so effortlessly.
In the room where it happens.
Well, yeah. As a matter of fact, John Bolton's book, which is about will be my next recommendation. I'm a huge John Bolton mark.
I know.
But no, but if you are like, I don't want to watch Hamilton, I'm not that interested, it's not my style, but I would like a taste, okay? Then watch just the King George first song.
Yeah.
And I think it's impossible to not enjoy it. It's somebody doing their life's work. Like, this guy could retire. Like, it's so fucking good.
Jonathan
so
Groff
funny.
From Mindhunter.
Is he? I was just talking about that with Jamie. Like, all these people from Hamilton, they're all like Lafayette. I mean, what the guy who plays Lafayette, killer performance.
Yeah.
He does like a French accent. It's so funny.
Uh-huh.
And then like he's in Snowpiercer on TNT AEW, and you're like, dude, like I get it. Like Lin-Manuel is like, just keep doing Broadway, man. Like, I know you want to be this big star, and you deserve it. You deserve it. You made the best thing. You deserve it.
Yeah.
But it's Peter Principle. We talk about it all the time. Like, you're now trying to be something which you're not. Like, and we're talking about Batista today. So it's really interesting because Batista was actually not a great professional wrestler. Is a better actor than professional wrestler. So
yeah.
I understand you don't want to limit yourself. But like, if you're Lin-Manuel, you're like, he's like the master of Broadway. There used to be a time where it was just like, I'm just going to do Broadway. Like, right?
There's a lot of people like that, like Broadway performers, and like a lot of people. Yeah, I think
it's like we're gonna get like Lin-Manuel like cologne. You know what I'm saying? Like,
now available at Ulta. It's called 1776.
Yeah,
it smells like burning paper and tea.
Yeah, it smells like probably like shit.
Gunpowder.
Great hygiene then. But yeah, it's great.
Check it out, you guys. Check out Hamilton. Check it out. Check out King George. And then I don't know. I also watched like Unsolved Mysteries on Netflix this week.
I've seen four eps so far.
I watched a few eps. That was pretty cool.
Unsolved Mysteries is very good. My beef with Unsolved Mysteries is that they are unsolved.
Oh, I was just gonna say it's very, like, fair warning, it's very unsatisfying to watch because the mysteries are unsolved. So
it's so frustrating.
Yeah, it's really frustrating.
But there's this one guy, I'm gonna spoil one episode of this,
go
so
for
if you
it.
Need to go ahead because I want like
which
the French guy?
Oh, I didn't watch this one.
Oh, all right. Well, never mind.
I'm not gonna spoil it.
I'm not gonna spoil it. There's a, I think it's like the third episode. There's like a French episode, but yeah, but it is well done. I like it.
It's cool.
In that same vein, I'm watching. I'll Be Gone When It's Dark. Is that what it's called?
Oh yeah, I started watching. I read that book a couple years ago.
You read the book?
McNamara. Yeah.
So it's Patton Oswalt's wife. It's HBO series right now. They're releasing, I think it's 6-part series. 2 episodes have aired already. It's coming out every Sunday. She basically is like the first kind of like armchair detective, right? Like the new age, like podcast detective.
True crime.
Yeah.
Which
I think is one of the most interesting things of our time is that like the amount of people who've done better police work than actual police through podcasts.
Yeah, podcast, like Serial and all that really cracked that open. But yeah, she had a truecrimediaries.com was her website. And she goes into the book, like how she's always had this obsession with crimes and murders and stuff like that. And so she heard of this, the East Area Rapist original Night Stalker case, which was kind of underreported on at the time. And she researched it. And
underrated, right?
And underrated, his body of work was pretty extensive. So she wrote this book and she passed away before the book was published. Right. But she was the one who, I believe, gave the guy the name the Golden State Killer. And spoiler alert, if you don't watch the news, after the book came out and everything, the guy was caught. So.
Yeah, so it's like years later. So
yeah,
so that's I'm watching that right now, cool. And that's cool because even though I've been purposely staying away from any it's shitty to call it spoilers, but like any info about the guy, although I've seen picture of him and stuff. Right. You know that like they catch the guy, so it's kind of like a good feeling. As opposed to these unsolved mysteries are like so unsettling.
The unsolved mysteries is so unsatisfying because there's so much information. Like it's an hour long show that they're reporting on, but there's like no resolution. So
yeah, but the cool thing is that these shows literally are like if you have any information, call. And so me and my wife used to watch this show called Disappeared on Investigation Discovery. And like there was this one family. Have we talked about this? The McStay family?
No. I don't know that.
So there's like an episode about this family called the McStays. And so they're literally like in their house. I think they live in like New Mexico or something. And they just are gone. Like the whole family's gone. And like there's like cereal bowls like with cereal in it and like spoons in it. You know, the dog's like in the backyard and like no one knows where the fuck they are. And there's like video of a family with similar silhouettes crossing over into Mexico. And then they like find their car, like parked in a parking lot near the border and you don't know where it is. But then like we watched that episode. We're like, wow, what the fuck happened there? And then years later, I just was clicking around. I saw an article being like, they figured it out. Like they found their bodies in a grave. They found all their the full family in a grave, and they linked it to the husband's partner.
Oh my god, that's crazy! I love a resolution.
But it was like years later, you know, and the show is like get people these cases like so much attention. So I think this unsolved mystery show, I actually think that it might go under the radar as a show, but I think one of these will get solved because it's on Netflix, and then that's going to make it huge.
Right. I would recommend the Crime Junkie podcast if anything that we're talking about is interesting to you. They cover a different case every week, and a lot of them are unsolved, and they're affiliated with, like, the Indiana Crime Stoppers. So they, like, you know, actually say, like, if anyone has any info, contact, they give resources and stuff. And they cover a lot of, like, lesser-known cases, like LGBTQ cases, like minority people who've gone, like these cases have gone underrepresented in the media. So I really love that podcast. Check that out also.
Sweet. We're recommending a lot of shit.
You guys, we know what's good. Hamilton.
There was something else I was going to recommend. Not the Babysitter's Club, which I am watching with my wife.
I'm dying to watch it. I love the Babysitter's Club.
Yes. My friend Lucia directed a lot of episodes.
Oh, that's
She's
so
very cool.
But
it's a fun watch with my with my wife. Great. Okay. Well, I was watching something wrestling related, but I don't remember what it is.
I'm watching Monday Night Raw right now.
Oh yeah, Monday Night Raw is very good. Anyway, let's talk about My Spy.
I didn't read
my book at all.
Damn.
So
I've read 20 books in quarantine so far. I'm cruising.
Okay. So anyway, everybody, My Spy 2020 movie. Aaron, before we talk about My Spy, how many moves out of 5 would you give the movie My Spy?
I'm going to give it 5 moves.
Wow. This is a shock. You're giving it this, what was it, Inside Out treatment?
No.
Wow, are you saying this is as good as the Triple H Pickle movie?
Shock yes. The system. I know it's a shock to the system.
Wow,
I'd say this
Aaron.
Is as good, equally as good as Inside Out starring Triple H, Paul Levesque.
Wow, that was a curveball that you gave this 5 moves.
I couldn't tell
you. There was no tips, no sign. It was true save it for the pod behavior. Mm-hmm. I could not tell. Aaron, what did you like so much about this movie? I said that like I'm like, I can't believe
what did you like so much about this?
Aaron, tell the people why you like this movie so much. And I know you're not alone. There were some people in the 4D cow experience and the 8D. Well, many are saying 10D now, but many are saying that a lot of people enjoyed it on the Facebook group and a lot of people watched it.
Literally, while we're recording, I am getting messages from Sal Alazio and Kai Harrell saying that they loved My Spy while we're recording.
Wow.
What did I love about, first of all, I love Dave Bautista. I feel like this showed a lot of his range. You know what I mean? He was cuddly. He was cool. He was kicking ass. And I went through a whole range of emotions in this movie. I laughed a lot. I was moved at certain points. There was a little bit of romance, which I like. Mm-hmm. Not too much, a little bit. And I just loved it. It was so enjoyable. It was a treat. Especially compared to some of the other movies that we watch.
Better than Inside Out.
I mean, you rated Inside Out 5 stars also, so you might say that it's as good.
yeah.
One might say.
Wow. Yeah.
5 moves, baby.
5 moves for the movie. I mean, this is Batista's second movie getting 5 moves, I believe.
The rating we gave Stuber is still unknown.
Why?
Haven't gone back and listened to tell you. I don't know what we gave it.
Oh, I think we gave it 5.
That's what I think, but I don't know.
I'm pretty sure. I loved Stuber.
I'd like to retroactively give it 5.
No, I think we gave it 5. We really dug it. We were in that theater laughing. It was me and you and someone in the movie's agent. And that was it.
Yeah. we had a blast. I don't know about that guy, but
it was
we were
at the Arclight. Huge theater in LA. It was just me and Aaron and a guy like one row below us on an iPad.
Yeah.
Clearly had like the agent shoes on, you know, like the no socks loafer.
Yes.
And clearly was not there for fun. He was there to be like, I had to see this for my client. You see, by the way, that's something you see in LA a lot. Like I've been to movies a lot. If you go when they come out, in the first like week or so, you'll see people in the movie, in the theater. When I saw Get Out, Lil Rel was in the theater. There's times where I've seen a guy, I saw a guy in that movie when I watched Jeff in His Basement or whatever that movie was called. You know that
Jeff
movie? It was Jason Segel. Remember that actor?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I remember that.
It was like Fred Who Lives in His Basement
or something.
And it was a guy sitting in front of me that was just in the movie. I could be like, is that the guy? It's fucking distracting. If you're in the movie, don't go. Or at least sit in the back, you know?
Yeah.
I give this movie 3 moves.
Oh.
I'm giving it 3 moves. That's a good – I enjoyed it.
That's
I think that – that's a good rating. It's a good rating. It's a good rating. I enjoyed this movie much more than Hotel Artemis. You know what? This movie is really fun. Batista he's super cool in it. I do agree with you. You do see a lot of sides of Dave Batista. He's kind of like this understated genius of an actor.
I know. Who knew, you guys? Batista, so rangy. And
he's great. The girl is super good. She's got a lot of pizzazz. Mm-hmm. I did like the love story in this movie.
Yeah.
I would say that this movie, somebody said in the group, they were like, who is this movie for? And I do agree with that assessment of this movie, because you're like, it's kind of in between an adult movie and a kid movie, because some of the jokes are pretty, or might be like too far for a kid.
Yeah, maybe so.
Some of them are like a little too far, but then also you're like, what is it? What, do we know what this movie's rated?
My Spy is rated.
It doesn't. I'm trying to see it right here. I have it open, but it doesn't, because it didn't even go in the theater.
PG-13, you guys.
Yeah, right. So it is PG-13. So you're almost like, it could have been. It's in this gray area of like, it could have been like a little dirtier or just cleaner. And
right.
You know what I mean?
I think they found like a pretty good middle ground. Like, at least for me, like if I was the age of the girl in the movie, maybe this would be a movie I'd want to see, you know?
Right.
I don't think if you have any thought that this is a movie for children, which is a little, the marketing I think was a little misleading, because it looks like it's like a fun kids movie, but
I thought it was a kids movie.
Yeah, but it's actually not a kids movie. I think it's for like, you know, it's for adults, but also if you're a kid, you could watch it too. I don't think that there was anything too crazy for like, you know, like a 10-year-old to watch.
No, there's nothing too crazy. I just remember a couple of moments being like, like she says dick, right? She says dick, which is like, that's actually kind of a far joke for.
Is it though? Like, I feel like kids,
I don't know, for a kid
that,
to say like, you're a dick.
I feel like kids say that.
Maybe I'm just a fucking prude.
Yeah,
anyway,
I
don't mean this as a negative or a positive even. I'm just saying I understood someone being like, it's in that in between.
I just didn't know what I was getting myself into. I thought it was going to be kind of like more cutesy,
right,
like less of like an action movie or like kind of whatever. But I liked it.
Yeah, I liked it also. I think the girl in the movie is funny. But again, I don't do really well with movies about kids. We've talked about this.
We've talked about Stranger Things and stuff.
So, but I did think that it was like Batista and her had some really fun moments. I felt like sometimes I was like, oh, I like this scene, and then I'd have to wait a long time for the next scene that I really dug. But then when it was firing, it was really good, and Batista was really he was really funny. Yeah. Dr. Ken was annoying me in this movie a little bit.
I mean, he was just like playing every Dr. Ken character.
Yeah.
But as like their boss at the CIA.
But I thought Kristen Schaal was pretty funny in this movie. I mean, she did her classic thing. She's really,
classic,
you know,
thing.
She's very funny. So the premise of this movie, I had to rewind a couple times,
okay,
classic me fashion.
Yeah.
Because they talk a lot in this movie about people that you barely see.
Right.
Like, so like the little girl is like going to school, and she like doesn't have friends because she just moved there.
Right.
Her dad, who is dead, had a brother, right? Who was a bad dude. They were like arms dealers?
Yeah, something like that. They were
Again, it's like plutonium. Like, you know, it's like classic.
Oh, it's
like,
always plutonium.
Yeah, it's always like Russians and they want plutonium, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, but you never see the dad and like you don't see pictures of him or anything, right? So it's kind of like, you know, I don't know. I was a little bit like, oh, well, they keep talking about the dad, and I'm like, I don't know anything about this dad. All right. But then Batista is sent in to monitor the mom from her building to see if her brother-in-law will make contact because they're trying to capture that guy, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So Batista and Kristen Schaal are just spying on them the whole time. But the girl is just onto them.
Yeah.
And is kind of blackmailing them.
Batista gets demoted from being a field agent to being a surveillance team with Kristen Schaal. So they install themselves in this building. And the girl, within the day that they install the surveillance stuff in the girl in her mom's apartment, she finds a camera instantly. And
she's super smart.
It reminded me of something I would do. Like, she found the camera. She looked up the model number online. She walked around the building with the Wi-Fi. I was like, yes, do that.
Right. I'm just saying it is a weirdly convoluted plot. Mm-hmm. It's fine because you're and it does work. But I was like, wait, why? In the beginning, I was like, why are they spying on this woman? Oh, they're waiting for this guy to come. Okay. And the daughter, I keep having to be like, would the daughter, would they be able to pull this off? But anyway, it doesn't really matter. It is fun. It's a very simple device. But anyway, let's talk about the opening scene, because the opening scene of this movie is really fun, really cool.
Yeah.
Batista's on this heist in Russia, I think, right? And he's
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, he's a full-on undercover. Every movie we watch, by the way, starts – it all starts on a – some kind of – either the Middle East or Russia.
Chechnya.
With a scroll at the bottom. It's
Mm-hmm. it's required for most of our movies.
Like that Austin Powers, secret headquarters.
Yeah, the little ticker at the bottom.
Every movie, but he's there and he's doing this terrible Russian accent. And so he's doing a Russian accent, and then you're like, I hope to God that Batista does not do a Russian accent this whole movie.
Oh, God.
And then I'm like, I hope they call out how bad it is. And then immediately the villains are like, that Russian accent is so bad. It's funny. They call him out. They're like, that's terrible. And
everyone in the control room is saying the same thing, oh, no, this isn't going to go good.
And I think it's really funny, the war room of, live watching a mission go down, which we know actually happens, because there's those videos of when they kill Osama bin Laden, there's pictures of, Obama and Hillary Clinton, right? They're Zero Dark 30 or whatever. we know that happens. So that is a ripe area for comedy.
Yeah.
Watching that and, somebody fucking up. It's funny, but Batista, his whole thing is he literally says the line, I'm sorry, I'm really bad at accents.
Right. But
I'm really good.
He blows his own cover so easily. Yeah. He's just
I'm good at kicking ass, is what he says.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just starts beating the shit out of everybody, blowing up grenades, and it's a blast. They do a lot. This shots are really cool. They do slow-mo of him throwing guys.
Mm-hmm. And guys flying through the air.
Yeah. And it's great. Batista looks awesome. He's walking away slowly from an explosion. Yeah. He looks great. The thing about Batista is he has such a cool body.
So he has a really cool body.
Is a really cool body. He's at one point in the movie, he wears a Chris Evans shirt. You know what I mean? With a couple buttons, but really tight.
Yes. Yes.
Long sleeve shirt.
Yeah.
And when Batista rocks that, no one has that bod.
The Henley t-shirt.
Yes.
Yeah. Oof.
That scene I thought was. It sets the tone for the movie. You're like, this is a good time. Then he gets demoted and they make Kristen Schaal his partner.
She's stoked.
Yeah. And then they put him in the apartment building, right? Mm-hmm. And then that's where that's where it is fun. Kristen Schaal and Batista have really fun rapport they set up there. I thought it was really funny. She's like, teach me to be a spy. And she's just annoying him.
Right. Right.
And she he throws a knife Like one part I thought was really funny. He throws a knife to be like, don't go into my briefcase. Like she's going to open it. Boom. Mm-hmm. And then later on, she takes that knife and she's like, I want to throw it. And then she accidentally throws it into his leg.
Behind her. Yeah.
And he doesn't flinch at all.
Yeah.
And that's kind of Batista's like bread and butter. Is that like he doesn't really react or whatever. Like weirdly, he's for a wrestler is such a small actor. And mm-hmm. for such a big guy.
I know. It is interesting. I think that's why, like, when he does more, like, kind of sensitive act, like, there's more sensitive moments, or when he's, like, being sweet, it is, like, amplified by his size.
Yes. That is. And there is, it's, Batista has, like, completely cornered the market on the, like, sensitive, huge, mm-hmm. jacked guy.
Yes.
And it's authentic. So it's like there's scenes where he's getting like bullied around by the little girl and it's believable. Like she's more alpha than him.
Right, totally. I really like the scene where he starts like she blackmails him with this video and threatens to blow up their spot and she at one point demands like teach me stuff and she gets him to teach her how to pass a polygraph test.
Right.
And when she's like funny. Lying and trying to pass the polygraph and she says like, you've never taken steroids. Yeah, and that's what gets him to be like, you're too good at this. Like,
yeah. And then she's like, I think all of your tattoos are really cool. And like, she's able to pass a polygraph perfectly.
Right.
I did feel like one thing that didn't pay off in the movie is that like so they start setting up like she I think that there's two things about this movie that I think were weird like they not weird but there's two directions that I kind of like they both work but they maybe should have chose one like this movie easily would have worked if it was like I need you to pretend to be my dad but you're a spy like because right. She has that scene where he goes to school which we'll talk
Special
about
Special Friends Day.
Right. That scene was very funny. But then, like, it's like he's also teaching her to be a spy, but then you never really see her spy behavior, like, really pay off.
Not until the end.
She does a thing at the end, but I just feel like you'd want to see more of it's like, shit, I need her to be my partner. That's where I felt like the movie was going.
Right. But
you know what I mean? Yeah. Where it's like I can't like I was expecting a scene in this movie where there's like a small hole and he can't crawl through and it's like no you have to go in and then she has to do it and he has to like walk her through it and she nails it you know what I mean
maybe it's in the deleted scenes
right and then like a shoot like imagine a shootout scene where he like teaches her to shoot and then she has a shootout scene later where she like kills a bunch of guys
well I think that's where they drew the line on the PG-13 rating it's like you know, we can't show this little girl actually murdering people.
Right. But I wanted to see that. People. I felt
I
like she was
loved, I would have liked it. I would have liked to be her.
But then I felt like her thing of like, I need friends doesn't really pay off. Like it's a big thing they set up in the beginning where mm-hmm. it's like, she really wants to have these friends, but instead it's like Batista is her friend, but she doesn't get any friends.
She does get friends. She says at the end, she's like, being popular is really hard because like all the kids like her after Special
good.
Friends Day. And then...
So from that, you see... Okay. All right, I'll take it.
Special Friends Day is a turning point for her at school.
Right.
And he helps her out.
But Batista... He's kind of like lost. He meets this girl and her mom, and you feel like he's kind of a lost dude. And he finds direction here, which was very nice.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. I thought at the end of the movie he was going to be like, "I'm actually going to step down." When they offer him his job back, I thought he was going to be like, "Actually, I'm going to step down and just move to Chicago and teach in the school or something." He's going to be like the PE teacher or something. But like then, but I think they want to set it up for a sequel. You know?
Oh, I would love a My Spy 2. Maybe you'll get to see Sophie kill people in My Spy 2.
It's interesting. I hope so. Because it's interesting because these movies, I don't know it's hard to gauge this one. Like, Trolls was a huge success, and that was, but people had to rent it. This one just went right onto Prime. So, like, right out of the box office is, like, way lower than the budget, but that doesn't mean shit, because it's like, Amazon paid a shit ton of money for the rights to this movie, obviously.
Exactly.
So you're kind of like, but because it went right there, they probably got more money than if it actually went into the theaters. So I wonder if this model is going to be going forward, if this is going to be more profitable to make a movie and not like VOD style movie, like not a movie that has a, not like Kickboxer Vengeance or some shit.
Right.
A movie that feels like something that would have been in the theater, but is just straight to streaming. And I don't, I mean, not even to buy, just to get paid by Apple. Because like Hamilton, they must have paid so much money for Hamilton. I can't even imagine. A billion?
Well, that
like one
movie,
bill?
Well, Disney, it was already a Disney production. So Disney paid for the rights to release Hamilton in the theaters like a long time ago, I think. So I don't know what happened where, I don't know how it works. Like, okay, well, we own the rights. We're not going to release in theaters, but we're going to put it on Disney Plus. Like, I don't know what the financials look like there, but they were already going to do it. But movies that, I see a lot of movies on Netflix and I watch them and I'm like, oh, this could have easily been in the theater sometimes.
Right.
Like, oh, there's a lot of big stars, or it's a really good movie. And I have wondered, like, oh, is it just a better deal? Like, do they just kind of, it's a better deal just to get paid out by Netflix rather than take the gamble of selling tickets at the box office?
Right.
I don't know.
We'll see. Especially if they have to have less seats, you know?
Right.
It's like,
true.
You know? It, well, you know, I remembered an 80% laugh I had this week, by the way.
Oh,
it's a tangent.
What was it?
I'll say it at the end when we're done with this. Okay.
Okay.
You remind me. Okay. But yeah,
laugh.
Let's jump
That's
to
good.
So like Batista, she blackmails him into going ice skating. That's their first scene.
Uh-huh.
That's like their first big scene together. She's like, I want to meet some, like, the kids are all going ice skating. My mom's working late. She's a nurse, right?
Right.
And so he's like, she's like, you have to take me ice skating and then I won't tell mom that you're spying on us.
Yeah.
And Batista, the smart thing in the script is that, like, they're like, you can't fuck this up or you're going to lose your job. So he's like, this girl really has him by the balls.
Right.
So then Batista goes ice skating with her. And it's just, he just is, Batista on ice skates. He's adorable, the guy.
Yes. Batista on ice skates and later Batista dancing really just melted my little heart. It was so cute.
Yeah. So later we can jump right to that scene, because later on the scene, he goes on a date with with her mom, with Sophie's mom. Right. I don't know her name, the character. But so and then they put on the Cardi B song.
I like it like that. The Bad Bunny, I think, Cardi B song.
It's the one they play in my gym where it goes, I run this bitch like cardio. That's the only part I know. I like it like that, which is a song I never liked.
Well, I like the Cardi B.
The Cardi B one is so much better than the original of that song.
The original is like something you hear in like
bar mitzvahs,
like a commercial for like your local Mexican food chain.
Yeah.
Chili's or something.
But they play that song. I heard so much in the 90s.
Yeah.
But anyway, but then Batista, he goes dancing, and then his dancing is, how do you describe, he's doing a lot of like driving.
He's
it's like a lot of like
this.
Fake driving, like one
he's
handed
doing
driving.
A lot of moves that maybe like a tween girl would teach you. I think he dabs at some point.
Right.
Yeah.
I always think about these movies.
Drive.
Right. This is like another. He's so jacked, and like no one questions how jacked he is. Like,
he is huge. You can really see it to scale on the dance floor, you guys, because he's surrounded by like normal human beings.
Yeah.
Not like other wrestlers or whatever. Like, he is huge. Like, I don't know what shirt size he wears, but they have to be like all custom made.
Right. When he's dancing, it's really fun. They do like shoehorn in a really unnecessary thing of it going viral. Like,
oh yeah, later.
And it's like someone pointed out to me that whole going viral and stuff is kind of like an overused trope now. It's actually like it's such a big deal in society now that it's in every movie.
Right. Like,
it's like, oh, look, we're going viral.
Yeah, this video of you crashing your car into whatever has gone viral. Now everyone knows.
And sometimes it's kind of unavoidable. Like, you need that device.
Right.
But in this, you didn't need it at all. So I don't know why. Like, why
I think
even
it was just a way, because
I
think it was funny to have, like, the title of the video was like, Giant Crushes. Yeah. I don't remember what it was. It was funny.
Yeah. It was, but that scene, it was really funny. And then, so then this girl, she really shines in that scene, like we talked about. He's teaching her how to be a spy, and you could tell Kristen Schaal's mad at him because she's been asking to be a spy the whole time. But he really, like, loves this little girl, so he's teaching her how to, like, set charges and, like, all this stuff that,
yeah,
like,
that was really funny with Play-Doh.
But then he says this one scene where he's like, all right, go into that building and you have to get up on a balcony in 10 minutes, and she's then she's like I'll do it in 5.
Right.
And then she walks in, and then all of a sudden she's on a balcony, and they're, like, feeding her food.
Right. Holding a baby, sitting and chatting with, like, an old Chinese couple.
Yeah. It's great. I mean, the movie I had a blast. I think my favorite scene in the movie is the student when he goes to school.
Oh, Special Friends Day, I loved.
Yeah. Batista, she needs, like, you bring your special friend. Everybody brings their parent. It's that classic. By the way, do they do this in school anymore?
I never did this in school.
I don't think I did this in school. I think I did. There were times, like, I remember one girl's mom was a dental hygienist, and I remember her, like, telling us, she came in and, like, talked about being a dental hygienist, but it wasn't like we had a day where all your parents come in and you tell all, you know?
Mm-mm, no, I never had that. Mm. I'd bring you and be like, this is my special friend, Dan. He does several podcasts. And he's a stand-up comedian. and then you'd give your presentation of the class.
But Batista literally, he gets up there and like it's he realizes like he goes like, oh, I take out garbage, because he has to like keep his cover.
yeah.
And everyone's like, aha, you take out garbage, and then he sees that it's gonna embarrass her, so then he blows his cover again.
He
immediately just goes, if I take out garbage, I mean human garbage.
Right. All over the world.
Yeah, all over the world. And then he like goes into that, and then the guy who went up there who was like a heart surgeon is so jealous.
I know, he's so jealous. Later, he's like, he envies, like, because JJ Batista's getting all the attention from, like, every woman, like, looking at his tattoos and stuff. And he, like, unbuttons his shirt, like, way too far. And then he's like, never mind.
He has a four-leaf clover.
Yeah, like a tattoo.
He has, like, a dime-sized four-leaf clover tattoo. Everyone's admiring Batista's full-sleeve tattoos and, like, full chest plates. Uh-huh. And he's trying to show everyone, like, yo, I got a four-leaf clover.
Ladies love Batista at Special Friends Day.
Yeah. That was they love him. And the teacher, there's a babe teacher, and she really inappropriately hits on him. She comes on him very hard.
Slips him a phone number on school grounds. Very
that
slick.
Made me laugh also, because she slips him a number, and then the daughter, Sophie, is like, rip that up.
conflict of interest.
Yeah, it's a conflict of interest. She doesn't want to date the teacher, but she does want her to date her mom.
That is cute.
So they don't really fuck around with the whole, like, don't date my mom routine. That was the man of the house, the JTT Chevy Chase joint.
Oh, my God. That is probably available on Tubi, you guys.
That's a Tubi classic.
Yes.
Yeah. And then I think the movie, you know, it culminates. There's some good action in it. And then, the cool scene is at the end, because, like, I thought the big thing is that she gets to actually, like, blow something up. And do the walk.
Yeah, I love that. And he's like, don't tell anyone I did this, because it was a dud.
Right, like they practice with fireworks.
Topical.
Blowing up, like, with, like, walking away from an explosion. And then there's like at the end of the movie, there's like an oil truck that's like gonna blow, there's fire all around it, but it doesn't blow up, and they're trying to walk, and he's like, oh, it's a dud. And then she's like really disappointed. And the mom is so funny in this part.
Oh, yeah. She's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, because they're like not running away from it because they want to walk away from it. Cool. She's begging. Yeah. She's like, please. And the mom's like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, just run. Run away from this thing. And she's, and then they're like, no. And then Batista's like, all right, like, don't tell anyone I did this. And yeah. then he takes out like a little like hand grenade bomb or whatever.
That he had on him the whole time.
And the mom's like, you carry that all the time? Yeah. Like he has like a bomb on him. And he throws it, they blow it up, and they get to do their walk, their mm-hmm. explosion walk. And it's a cute movie. It's fun. It's I think actually it's kind of like a weirdly I thought it was a It was like a cool role for Batista. Like we watch a lot of Batista yeah. movies, and I really enjoyed this. I think
it gave
the last
him, like
thing...
range in it, you know, like
yeah,
it was great.
I think the last thing we need to talk about is Batista's hair in this movie.
Yeah, we touched on it last week when we talked about the poster, and or maybe I don't know if it was on CMC or the main pod, but Dan took note that Batista was rocking the Topic hair
yes.
sprinkle.
Topics is a hair product that I put in my hair only like for like if I'm filming and stuff, and most of the time
we've dabbled in Topic in this house.
We've done Topics. It's I mean they use it in anything, and once you know what it does, you see it. I spot it. You just see it. It's just like when someone's hair it doesn't even necessarily mean you're balding. Mm-hmm. It's when there's a lot of overhead lights on set.
Yes.
You could just
yes.
see through scalps a lot of time. And so mm-hmm. there's a lot of shine on scalp. So
yeah.
it helps to like eliminate that.
You guys, if you don't know anything about Topic, go into a Topic YouTube K-hole.
Yeah.
Like what you can do with this magic powder is crazy. Like,
highly recommend it.
Highly recommend this episode. We got to get them as a sponsor.
Arlen topped me up for my wedding.
He's our official Topic correspondent. Yeah.
But it's great if you have it. If you're feeling self-conscious about your baldness, but you, by the way, you should don't use this every day. But if you're getting a special occasion where you want in the pictures to not see through, you can mm-hmm. top out.
Top out, baby.
Anyway, and they have salt and pepper, by the way. If you have some gray, they have a salt.
Oh,
they have
really?
One that's like, yeah, they got mixed speckle. Mixed,
I like that.
Yeah.
You season like a piece of salmon with it before you put it in the oven. It's great.
But in this movie, for some reason, they give Batista kind of like the 2004 rock hair, I would say. He has like the Gridiron Gang rock hair.
Like solid on top.
Yeah, like it's a full on, like a full, they just like for some reason were like, this character needs hair. Maybe because he was supposed to be like more James Bondy than like.
Yeah, I don't know. Why did like, he need more hair? Like, he's so close to bald in it. Like, why give him that little like dusting on top?
Yeah, it looks like kind of weird because it's like shaved really close to the side, and then the hair just like starts.
Right. The top starts.
Yeah, I don't really know what that choice was. Totally. Maybe they just were like, let's make you look a little different. You know?
Yeah, maybe so.
But I didn't think it looked particularly cool. It made me think about Batista's hair in general. Like, we watch a lot of Batista movies. The guy works mm-hmm. a lot. Is it possible we can get a Batista, like, ever with hair? Like, besides, the only time we've seen him with hair is when he played Tong Po, and he has just a ponytail in the middle of
God,
a shaved
you guys.
Head.
Yeah.
A braided
well,
pony.
He had braids, yeah. Batista with hair.
Have we ever seen Batista in a movie with like just like current John Cena style hair, like or like just
oh,
even
no.
my hair?
No. Like even my hair, setting the bar low for this.
Even this.
I mean,
he's never had this much hair. Not even close, right?
Not even close. I mean, not that I can recall, and not that I'm seeing.
We need a movie of Batista with like
his hair is like very like downy, you know what yeah. I mean? Like it's got that Topic kind of like fluffy texture to it when you
yeah.
see it.
I want to see a movie of they need Batista to host SNL. I mean,
oh my God, he would be great.
I don't think he ever will because he's kind of like not famous enough, weirdly.
Yeah.
Like he is, but he isn't. You know?
Well, not yet. You never know.
You never know. I mean, it's all about a role. I mean, Batista, we're hoping to get Batista in the Oscars. What would be the movie? What would be the ideal role for Batista to win an Oscar?
Okay, so I believe that if he continues making films with Denis Villeneuve, he stands a chance, because that guy's career, I think, like, he's due for, like, some Oscars,
right.
Oscar noms. And he obviously likes working with Batista, so you never
they
know.
They all do, though. Do you notice that? Like, Batista's in, like, oh, the first scene of that Blade Runner movie, and that's it. And then they're like, oh, he's coming back for the next one.
Right.
Whatever.
Right.
And you're like, what? Like, okay. And people love the guy, including us. Anyway.
I just uncovered a photo of Dave Batista in the year 2000. With full hair.
Really?
See if I can, yeah, like long.
Well, he had hair in W. Oh, wow. That I've never seen. That's full, like, Fabio's length.
Yeah, you guys. It's the real deal, I'm assuming.
Side note, I heard Heath Slater is on Raw tonight and is looking jacked up.
I have it on, but I don't have my glasses on, so I can't quite see.
Newman texted me, said, Beef Slater.
I saw that.
Yeah. Well, anyway, My Spy, highly recommend. It's for free on Amazon Prime.
You guys,
check
My
it out.
Spy is really fun.
Aaron,
and, you know,
couldn't recommend it higher.
I couldn't recommend it higher. I gave it 5 moves. I'm sticking with 5 moves.
Forget That's a
about
huge
it.
Score.
I'm becoming more in love with Dave Batista with every movie we watch. So
absolutely. I love those American flag tattoos he got.
Oh yeah.
Those are crazy. Those are insane.
I love his is it Bacardi ad campaign where he talks about it's like a quarantine ad campaign kind of.
I sent you a picture of
him with a puppy dog. Yeah.
Yeah. But I never saw the actual commercial. I've seen the pictures.
Cool.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Check out My Spot. And next week we're watching
Chasing
what's the movie?
Molly.
How do I watch that on Tubi?
Obviously, it's on Tubi. It's also available on Amazon Prime if you don't want to watch it with ads.
Who's the star in that? Oh, Kurt Angle's in
it. Kurt Angle's in it. It is about a woman who I believe I don't know. You guys,
it's like Chasing Amy, but Molly.
There's some supernatural element in it also.
Ooh,
but
wow.
Yeah.
Kurt Angle's due for a good role, especially after his world-renowned role Pro Wrestlers for Zombies. the worst movie ever made. Oh,
guys,
my God. You have to. We'll watch it for Halloween again. It's the worst movie I ever saw. It's the worst movie
scared.
I've ever seen.
That's what I heard. And I have never seen it. Even that endorsement didn't get me to watch it. So maybe we'll do it.
It's so bad. You'll have to turn it off. But I would love a Joe Bob Briggs about it.
Oh, my God. Anything is possible. No, he would never do it. We've got a lot of movies lined up, and this is not the only Kurt Angle movie on the Cow Movie Club schedule. So,
right. That's exciting.
Yeah.
All right, really Aaron. Exciting. Should I tell you my 80% laugh?
Yes. I've been dying to hear it since you've remembered what it was.
Okay. I watched a Netflix original rom-com called Desperados that my wife put on.
Uh-huh.
It just came out. It is Nassim Pedra is the lead.
Uh-huh.
And she is, like, chasing
Adele
a guy.
Adele Dazeem? Who is
it? It's Adele Dazeem. You don't know the Dazeem Pedrad?
I don't think
she was on SNL.
Oh, my God. I do know who you're talking about. And I've seen, like, a still from this movie on Instagram.
You know, Nassim is very good. I don't know her at all. I've met her, like, twice. But she's very talented. But I was saying to Jamie, I was like, she did have kind of a very forgettable SNL run. But, like, she did a good job. Like, it's interesting. There's some cast members of SNL who, like, do great, do a bunch of years there, and then, like, you just forget about them, even though they nailed it. Like, she did a lot of funny shit. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah, I totally remember liking her. I just, like, completely forgot. Plus, like, it's not
she
like
did
she
did Ariana
left.
Huffington. It was really funny.
Yes, and it's not like she, like, but some people even, like, go the Sudeikis route, where they're, like, in movies now and stuff. Like, I just haven't seen her or heard her name in so long.
That is true. But she's the lead in this Netflix movie. She's very funny in it. She's funny. There's just it's just kind of like, you know, your classic, like, Netflix does comedy movie. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But she had this one line where she was like, saying to her friends, she's like, if you guys don't help me out, I'm going to remember this when I choose the bridesmaids' dresses at my wedding. Right? She's like, I'm going to make them super ugly. I'm going to make them super ugly, unflattering. You're going to look terrible. And then one girl goes, she's like, I'm going to look great in that dress. She goes, you're going to look like shit. That was it. It was just very funny delivery. It's very funny. She's like, you're going to look like shit in that dress. And it was just funny. It made me laugh.
It got an 80% laugh out of you.
It caught me off guard.
In this economy, that's pretty good.
Sometimes the delivery is just very good. And I thought that was a funny threat to get. But it was, check out the movie. I mean, you know.
I have a bonus recommendation, you guys.
Yeah. It's not an amazing movie, but it's funny. Yeah, it's funny. If you're looking for a light rom-com, it's
for
funny.
For some chuckles?
Yeah. And me and Jamie watched it, and like we sat, you know, it's like 90-minute job, and gets the job done. Very funny. Yes. All right. That's it. Everybody, right, my spy. We'll see you next week for Chasing Molly.
Chasing Molly. Don't watch Chasing Amy on accident.
If you watch Chasing Amy, we'll do a Chasing Amy episode. I actually like that movie. I have a lot to say. I don't know if I like that movie anymore, but I did like it.
I used to like it when I had it on 15, VHS. Yeah.
Probably not a good sign.
Probably not.
All right, everybody. All right, keep watching wrestling movies.
Comedians of wrestling.
Wednesday.
When I go to work.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.